Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else while I try and deal with everything that's going on in this world. Now, I did not have an episode last week because I was on a road trip, or I was supposed to be on a road trip. And I was going to do like a quick episode on the road with my cousin, and that didn't end up happening because I lost my wallet in Ohio and had to turn around and come home, and the mental state was just in shambles. Needless to say, that meant I had to replace my license, all of my cards, but what really hits the most is the stuff that was in my wallet that I can't easily replace. The things that I've had for the last 10 years in my wallet that are just gone now. But that's it. That's all I'm going to talk about this. We're going to talk about one of the things I do to get my mind off things is I'll just sort cards and brew decks. That's what I do. So that's what I did. So I was going through some cards and I came across a legend that I had thought about building back when they came out, and I didn't. So the legend is Hectos the Unscarred. It's red, red, white, white for a 6/1 human warrior. They attack each combat if able. When it enters the battlefield, you choose 2, 3, or 4 at random. And Hectos has protection from each converted mana cost other than the chosen number. Now, at first, I read that wrong, and I thought differently. But the way it works is, whatever number is chosen, the only things that can target him, block him, enchant him, any of that jazz, has to be that CMC. Which kind of scrapped the whole first idea I had for this deck, which was just, oh yeah, just load it with all one drop protection spells and stuff and go to town. But that doesn't work. So I sat down and I was like, okay, so what's the best way I can find to work around? And the answer I came up with was anthems. And different ways that get around targeting. So, just going through what I have and what I could find around, I ended up with 30 cards that could indirectly affect Hectos because they don't target. I have a total of 37 lands. I ended up with 11 cards that can either directly or indirectly draw cards. I ended up with 16 cards that could be considered ramp, 5 removal spells, which might be a bit light, and then 7 utility spells, which might be a little high. I might end up cutting some of those for more removal. But I did want to talk about some of the things that I ended up finding that can affect Hectos. So the first one would be Anaphen's Akin Tree Spirit. It's white-white for a 2/2 Spirit Soldier. Whenever another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, you bolster 1. I had to look up the rulings for this. Bolster does not target a creature. You choose a creature. So that distinction allows us to run that. But I also wanted, you know, just ways to help Hectos, right? Like, he has to attack each combat, right? But what if I wanna block with him? Because since he can only be affected by one CMC, it makes him an amazing blocker. So, like, Herald of Dromoka is 1 and a white for a 2/2 human warrior with vigilance, and he gives other warriors you control vigilance. Again, Hectos is a warrior. The other one I found that I had forgotten about was the Bloodmark Mentor, which is one in a red for a 1/1 Goblin Warrior, and it says that red creatures you control have first strike. So again, gets around the thing by doing the thing. Now, the one that was the first thing that came to mind when I was looking for stuff for this was actually Bastion Protector, which is 2 and a white for a 3/3 human soldier, and commander creatures you control have +2/+2 and indestructible, which is, well, good. Our commander has one toughness. Like, yeah, he still dies to, like, damage board wipes and stuff because they don't target him. I just want to talk about a couple of the other ones I had pulled up for this, because the deck isn't technically together yet. I'm just kind of looking through stuff. Oh, another thing I was looking at for him was actually the Legendary Backgrounds from the Dungeons & Dragons set. And I haven't found a lot of them yet, but I did find a Flaming Fist, which is 2 and a white for a background. Commander creatures you own have, whenever this creature attacks, it gains double strike till end of turn. So yeah, it's just a Borosy good stuff beat face thing, because I needed to take my mind off other stuff. Now, I don't really want this to go super in depth, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about some demons, because I've been facing my fair share. And, yeah, so I'm going to cut this part off here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the demon deck that I put together and am technically still working on. But I'll be right back. Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff, believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them. And we are back. Now, like I said, we're going to talk about some demons, because I've been facing my fair share. When the Warhammer decks came out, I was kind of short on cash, so I didn't actually have the money to, like, buy the decks. So I ended up buying singles that I wanted from the decks that I could get my hands on at that time. And one of them was Bellicor the Dark Master, which is 3 and then a blue, a black, and a red for a 6/5 Demon Noble. It has flying. And it has two abilities. The first one is, when it enters the battlefield, you draw X cards and lose X life, where X is the number of demons you control. And then whenever another demon enters the battlefield under your control, it deals damage equal to its power to any target. Now, we could go, like, the copy route, where you just run all the copies to make copies of different demons and stuff like that. I opted not to go with that route. And I actually have, like, a solid core pack of demons that I'm running. And there's a few I don't have that I do want to get. But for now, this is kind of the core of the demons that I'm running. And let's start it off with the 3 Liliana demons that are legal in our format. So that's Demon Lord Belzenlok, Kothafed Soul Hoarder, and Razaketh the Foul Blooded. Belzenlok is 4 black-black for a 6/6 Elder Demon with flying and trample. When he enters the battlefield, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card, then put that card into your hand. If the card's converted mana cost is 4 or greater, repeat this process. Demon Lord Belzenlok deals 1 damage to you for each card put into your hand this way. I'm just going to throw it out there. There is a lot of stuff in this deck over 4. That isn't to say there isn't stuff under 4, because, you know, a lot of the mana rocks fall into that, and some of the reanimation spells fall into that, but it's almost an even split of CMC spells that are above 4 as under 4. Kothafed is 4 black for a 6/6 demon with flying. Whenever a permanent owned by another player is put into the graveyard from the battlefield, you draw a card and you lose 1 life. No, that is not negotiable. And Razaketh is 5 black for an 8/8 demon with flying and trample. You may pay 2 life and sacrifice another creature to search your library for a card, put that card into your hand, and then shuffle your library. So, he's a demonic tutor, and no, that is not the last time I will make that joke this video. Next up, we have the Kaldheim Bros. I'm not sure what else to call them. But that's Varagoth Blood Sky Sire and Carter Doomscourge. Now, Varagoth is 2 and a black for a 2/3 Demon Rogue with Death Touch. And it has a boast ability for 1 and a black. Target player searches their library for a card, then shuffles their library and put that card on top of it. It's like a vampiric tutor on a demon. So, you know. Carter is 2 a black and a red for a 4/3 demon berserker. When he enters the battlefield until your next turn, creatures your opponents control attack each combat if able, and attack a player other than you if able. So it goads them. Was this before goad was a keyword? Huh. I don't know. And whenever an attacking creature dies, each opponent loses 1 life, and you gain 1 life. Next up in the real core of demons that I... Well, honestly, it's just demons that I wanted to put somewhere that I didn't have somewhere else yet. So next up we have Hidetsugu Devouring Chaos, which is 3 and a black for a 4/4 Ogre Demon. You can pay a black and sack a creature to scry 2. And you can pay 2 and a red and tap him to exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn. When you exile an on-land card this way, Hidetsugu Devouring Chaos deals damage equal to the exiled card's mana value to any target. Next up, we have Lord Xander the Collector. Honestly, he's only in here because he's in the colors and he's a demon. But he's 4 black, red, and blue for a 6/6 vampire demon noble. When Xander the Collector enters the battlefield, target opponent discards half the cards in their hand, rounded down. When Xander attacks, defending player mills half their library, rounded down. And when Xander dies, target opponent sacrifices half of the non-land permanents they control, rounded down. Next up, we have Gyruda, Doom of Depths, which is 4 and then 2 hybrid blue-black for a 6/6 Demon Kraken. It has Companion, but we're not going to worry about that because we're not running it as a Companion because we lose too much in the utility stuff if we cut down all of our odd CMCs. But when Gyruda enters the battlefield, each player puts the top 4 cards of their library into their graveyard and put a creature card with an even converted mana cost from among those cards onto the battlefield under your control. Now, yes, there are times where we, ourselves, will not mill an even CMC creature, but since this hits everybody, there's a relatively good chance we'll hit something. Alright, next up, we have one of the better utility demons in the deck. And then we'll get into some of the, like, other stuff. So, Orcus, Prince of Undeath, is X, 2, a black and a red, for a 5/3 demon with flying and trample. When Orcus, Prince of Undeath, enters the battlefield, you choose either. Each other creature gets -X/-X till end of turn, and you lose X life. Or return up to X target creature cards with total mana value X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. They gain haste until end of turn. And yes, a lot of our stuff is very expensive, but we can produce a lot of mana in this deck, so I did play a test game where I was able to get back 2 7 drops and a 6 drop. Yeah. Alright, now we're going to get into more of the utility, the actual like utility creatures in the deck. So, starting off with our battlefield control, we have Archfiend of Depravity. 3 black black for a 5/4 demon with flying. At the beginning of each opponent's end step, that player chooses up to 2 creatures he or she controls and then sacrifices the rest. Next up, we have Bloodthirster, which is 5 and a red for a 6/6 demon with flying and trample. When Bloodthirster deals combat damage to a player, untap it. After this combat phase, there's an additional combat phase. Bloodthirster can't attack a player it has already attacked this turn. And yes, this could go infinite in many ways. I don't believe I'm playing any of them. So, the one thing about this is that it only untaps itself. So, unless I find some way to give them all vigilance, which is not really something this deck's trying to do. He's gonna get 3 attacks in, do some damage. But, yeah, extra damage. Next up we have our Doom Whisperer, which is 3 black black for a 6/6 Nightmare Demon with Flying Trample. You can pay 2 life to surveil 2. Now, this is a good way to set up our draws when we haven't had a chance to, you know, tutor out a land, or say we've got all the lands we need and we just want to get them off the top of our library so we can draw some more gas. That's what that's for. And to round out the creatures, we're going to end with another demonic tutor joke, because Runescarred Demon is 5 black black for a 6/6 demon with flying. When it enters the battlefield, you search your library for a card, put it into your hand, and shuffle your library. It is demonic tutor on a creature. That's it. Now, the other one, I'm going to make a similar joke, but it's slightly different. Burning Rune Demon is 4 black black for a 6/6 demon berserker with flying. When Burning Rune Demon enters the battlefield, you may search your library for exactly 2 cards not named Burning Rune Demon that have different names. If you do, reveal those cards. An opponent chooses one of them. Put the chosen card into your hand and the other into your graveyard, and then shuffle your library. Now, I have seen some talk about this as being like the, oh, go get a reanimation spell and a creature, so no matter which one they give you, you can just get that creature back. That's fine and all. I would rather just get 2 demons and say, pick the lesser evil, because I'm going to reanimate the other one eventually. And, yeah. Now, I'm going to round this out by talking about some of the reanimation I've been talking about, which comes in, like, 2 varieties. There's like the one shot, like just return a thing to the battlefield from the graveyard. Then there's like the one shot, save a thing in play and return it to play. And that's kind of what I want to talk about first. So essentially, Undying Malice and Feign Death are carbon copies of each other. They're both a single black, they're both instants, and they both have the exact same text. Until end of turn. Target creature gains. When this creature dies, return to the battlefield tapped under its owner's control with a +1/+1 counter on it. Now, there are other versions of this. Some make treasure, some cost you life, but flip into lands. The thing is, we have a lot of these because I realize people are going to want to kill the demons before the demons kill them. So, you know, find ways around that, because, you know, life finds a way or something like that. Now, where this is really gonna shine is when we can start filling our graveyard to just rip everything back out. Starting with Finale of Eternity, which is X black black. It's a sorcery. You can destroy up to 3 target creatures with toughness X or less. If X is 10 or more, return all creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. So, in a pinch, you can just destroy 3 creatures with this. But for the most part, we're going to want to cast this for 12 mana, get everything out of our bin. Because the thing with Bellicor is, if he's in the bin with everything else and you reanimate everything at the same time, he sees all the other demons in play and is going to draw you cards. He also sees all of the demons come into play and he's going to dome somebody for a billion. That's how his abilities work. Now, we do have one that's kind of dangerous to cast, and that's Command the Dreadhorde. 4 black black for a sorcery. Choose any number of target creatures and or planeswalker cards in graveyards. Command the Dreadhorde deals damage to you equal to the total converted mana cost of those cards. Put them onto the battlefield under your control. It's very easy to get carried away and accidentally reanimate one more creature than you can afford. I've done it twice already. So, just be careful with a card like that. Next up, we have Old Reliable Living Death, which is 3 black black for a sorcery. You remove all the creatures from the graveyard, then you sacrifice everything in play, and then you put the cards that were removed from the graveyard into play. It's just a big ol' swap. Great if you've been filling your graveyard and your opponents have not. But sometimes, you just don't want to deal with them getting their stuff back at all. And so you just go for a Rise of the Dark Realms. 7 black black sorcery. Put all creature cards from all graveyards onto the battlefield under your control. Now, I acknowledge like the one thing missing from this deck is like ways to give them haste. But again, as long as Bellicor's in play or getting put into play, we're gonna dome somebody for so much damage. Yeah. But that said, I think it's been a very stressful week. And I really just want to curl up into a ball and not wake up. But that's not an option. So I'm gonna let this go here, so that future Andy can just quickly edit this and get it up. And I hope you all have a wonderful whatever time it is you happen to be listening to this. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.